What you want? The wait is finally over. The 2010 season has just begun officially this past weekend. And now I'm proud to say that I can welcome you all to the very first 2010 regular season podcast of the No Fly Zone. A podcast that's made by Eagles fans and for Eagles fans. I'm your host, Brett Yukinevich. And for tonight, I'm joined with John Weppel and Dan Provine. Guys, how you doing?
All right, coming off of a big Eagles loss, there was a lot of crazy things that happened, and I'm ready to talk about them.
I'm doing pretty good. A little disappointed to the beginning of the start of the season, but, you know, that's what we're here to talk about and get our opinions out and see what we're going to talk about.
Oh, that's right. The Eagles did fall to the Packers 27-20 in the very first game of the season. Quite a wacky game to start the season, and a little bit horrifying as well because of what the first quarter and the first half seemed to almost turn into be what was going to be the next body bag game of the Eagles' history. Except this time, it was going to be the Eagles that were on the bad side of the game. So before we even get into all that, let's take a look at some of the numbers. Kevin Cobb in his first start was taken out halfway through the game because he did suffer a concussion. But before that, he went 5 for 10 for only 24 yards. Mike Vick went into the game for the rest of the game. Was 16 to 24 for 175 yards and one touchdown, and also was able to run the ball for 103 yards. Compare that to Aaron Rodgers, who was 19 to 31 for 188 yards, two touchdowns, but also two interceptions. To see that Aaron Rodgers didn't even put up 200 yards of passing offense is pretty good, considering that this is heralded as one of the best offenses in the league. And considering that we also have a very young defense, that was one of the big questions going into this entire game besides, this was one of the big questions going into the game besides Kevin Cobb, which was the obvious one. But to see that they only put up just 1 yard shy of 300 yards total offense is not too bad. On the flip side, of course, they did get some of the short fields because Jordy Nelson did return the ball quite a few times and did very well against us. And of course, some of your offense goes away when you have the short field starting at the 40-yard line. So that stat is still a little bit out of whack, and it still isn't fully telling of the entire story. But at the same time, when you look at the Packers only going 6-14 on third down, we still got our stops in. So
defense did a great job yesterday. I was definitely impressed. They came out and played a good game.
Yeah. Even with having to be on the field most of the time in the first half when Kevin Cobb, you know, they weren't successful in completing any kind of drive that sustained for even probably like 3 minutes at one time. So for them to hold the Packers offense, which is held as one of the best ones in the league right now, to, you know, just 20 points in the first half, you know, I guess it's pretty good. You know what I mean? And then the rest of the game, they shut it down pretty much after that, and we were allowed to do what we had to do. But I was pretty impressed with the defense and how they held. Even though they were tired, you know, all you have to do is work on that offense and maybe the defense couldn't be even better.
All right, well, it is about time to talk about the offense. And the biggest question that's been talked about ever since the ending of that game, whether, depending on if Kevin Cobb is healthy for next week, which, by the way, is so far he is not able to practice until Friday due to the testing that the league is enforcing for all players who suffer concussions. He will not be able to practice until Friday. So it's most likely that he will not play due to his health issues and with the league's ruling on concussions. But let's just say if somehow he is able to start on this next week against the Lions, who do you put in at quarterback? Are you going to keep Vic or are you going to go Cobb for a second attempt at starting a game and completing it for once?
Well, I don't really think it's going to matter what we think, because I bet you if that's true, then Andy Reid will start with Kevin Cobb no matter what, because that's his quarterback, you know what I mean? Kevin got to give him another chance, and I don't really think that, to be honest with you, and the reason why I think that they didn't do well is because in the first half, the offensive line wasn't playing well at all, and – I think for some reason it was kind of weird when Jamal Jackson left, they started maybe playing a slight bit better in the second half after that. I don't know for whatever what, maybe because of his rustiness of not having to play and never playing in training camp or anything like that. Maybe, you know, just one player on the offensive line can mess up everything if you're not, if you don't have chemistry. So I think that was a big part of it, but they got to give Kevin Cobb another chance. I think if he's healthy enough to play, get him in there against the weak team and see how well he can do against a team that he's supposed to beat. And that's a true test, I think.
Yeah, like John said, it doesn't matter what we really think. You know, Andy Reid stated today in his press conference that if Cobb's ready to go, he's his guy. He's his starting quarterback. This question also emulates another question. Does Philadelphia have a quarterback controversy? I think we might. It's simmering right now, but depending on how Cobb does in his next start and how the season progresses, I don't know. You may have a pretty huge quarterback controversy.
I don't think that's the case whatsoever. The main reason why I say that is because next year, Vic is already cashing in his ticket and he's going to another team. So even if we were to start Vic for the rest of the season, after Cobb has another bad performance or two, doesn't really matter. Vic's already going to be out of the team. Yeah. And we put our franchise back a year because Cobb is the quarterback of the future. And if he's going to be in here next year and we basically discard him for an entire year and give the keys to Vic, who's not going to be our quarterback, we're basically wasting time on progressing a quarterback and getting him his reps that he needs in order to be a better quarterback in his league.
Okay, well, one thing about football is their contracts aren't guaranteed. So, yeah, they gave Kevin Cobb a good signing bonus. But the fact of the matter is you got to play who's performing better in order to win games. Kevin Cobb right now, it seems like he's in a learning process. He seemed a little scared to me yesterday. There is so much hype built for him that this offense is going to be great. He comes out and he poops. He gets 20 yards out of 5 attempts. He averaged 5 yards per catch. I just think that you got to, you know, I don't know. Like I said, we'll see. They're going to have a quarterback controversy. The fact that Vic is signed this year, this is Deshaun Jackson's last year. So if you want to say it like that, Deshaun Jackson's not going to be on his team next year. If Mike Vick leads us to the playoffs, they'll give him another contract.
What do you mean Jackson's not going to be here next year? They're going to re-sign him.
Obviously, but what I'm saying is, this is the end of this is Mike Vick's last year too. But if he were to come in for Philadelphia and bring us to the playoffs and does what he needs to do, the Eagles will give him a contract and they'd probably give him the starting position. And with Kevin Cobb, I don't know, you make him the backup, or if he wants to be traded, if he's not happy as an Eagle, that's what would happen. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but if it does come to that, fans are going to get angry that Cobb's not holding up his ends. We want to win a Super Bowl now. I don't know about you, but I haven't. The last 12 years, we came so close, but yet so far. So,
yeah, I want to say something to change this conversation up a little bit here. To be honest with you, I don't think it has to do with the quarterbacks at all. I think it has to do with our running game. I was looking at the stat sheets, and besides Michael Vick's yardage, McCoy only ran 7 times in the whole game. And the other running backs maybe had 1 or 2 carries each. So out of necessity of Vick being flushed out of the pocket, he had to run, so they counted as attempts. I think no matter what this team does, if we don't start having a better running game, it's not going to matter what quarterback's in. Like, you got to have some kind of running game, because no matter who it is, just like Mike or McNabb was last year, if our quarterbacks are throwing every single down, eventually you're like the Cowboys said at the end of the season when they played us for the third time, the offense became predictable because that's all we do is throw the ball.
Yeah, but McNabb scored a touchdown. McNabb scored touchdowns. Cobb has yet to score a touchdown since the preseason and since this game. He has shown nothing this whole offseason. It's all been speculation. Mike Vick already been to the Pro Bowl. Mike Vick led his team to the playoffs. These players know it, and I don't know. We'll see.
All right, but here's one other thing, though. All right, we already said that Vick has gone to the playoffs and failed, which it's going to be the same exact thing with this team. I don't care what anybody says, because one thing is, because of the offensive line. reason why Cobb couldn't get anything started is because he was being chased out of the pocket every single time by Clay Matthews, and it doesn't help a quarterback regardless. So the first thing we really needed to do is solidify our offensive line, and we didn't do that in this offseason whatsoever. We blew over $30 million on the Andrews brothers, and this year we got rid of both of them. And now we're left with an offensive line that's very hollow. Not on top of the fact that Jamal Jackson is probably going to be out for the season with a tricep tear, and Jason Peters has not lived up to expectations. The Eagles front office made it sound like he was going to be the best offensive tackle in the league. And guess what? Best offensive tackles don't get false start penalties left and right. But that's what's happening. And he's also getting beat at times as well. But the other thing that we also have to worry about is the play calling too. Because another thing that made Vic look so good yesterday that I noticed and make Cobb look bad is the kind of plays that Cobb was supposed to be running, the kind of plays that we were expecting to see from Cobb were not called in the first half. If you noticed, when looking through the game, there were no crossing routes ran or called by the offense for Cobb to throw. It was always a two-receiver set with two tight ends and one running back, and all it was throw it to Jackson or Macklin, or if not, throw it to your check down. And that doesn't help, because that was not what Cobb was brought in for this offense for. But
experience showing right there, dude. You, like,
but no. That's not the point I'm trying to make. That is the kind of quarterback he was made to be. And when he played those two games last season, and he almost beat the Saints, and he sure as hell beat the crap out of the Chiefs, that's what the kind of plays that we saw. And even in the preseason, when he was driving the ball down the field, what was he driving the ball down the field for? He was doing little crossing routes, little drag routes, and screen passes. We didn't even see a screen pass in the first half with Cobb in there. With the third and longs, guess what? When McNabb was back there and it was third and long, we would run a screen pass. We did not see one single play call with that in mind with Cobb back there. And it's not Cobb's fault, because as I said, we all said before, it's Andy Reid and his play calling. If we're not giving Cobb the proper plays, it's not his fault that he can't perform if they're not giving him the right plays to use. Because obviously, he's not McNabb. He's not going to throw the ball 50 yards down the sideline and get DeSean Jackson wide open, because he doesn't have the arm strength. And I don't care what anybody says, even McNabb couldn't do that last year in third and long, because the fact is, as John said, with the Cowboys, our offense became way too predictable. And if we're going to do this all season, even if Vic is back there, our offense is still going to end up falling short, because we do not put in the right plays the right time. And this is what really killed us with our offense in this game. And if Andy Reid decided to call the right plays in this game, I guarantee you Cobb would not have had a concussion. He would not have been hit. He would have gotten the hot reads over the middle for 5 yards, but guarantee you that he could do it twice to three times in one drive and get that first down. But Andy Reid fails to call the plays.
I mean, I'm not saying Andy Reid's a saint play caller. You know, he's never been the greatest play caller. But I mean, you got to make do with the coach. You got to go with the coach's scheme no matter what. McNabb did it no matter what, and he produced no matter what. Mike Vick had to do it, and it's still Andy Reid calling the plays. He just, I guess, second half took a different philosophy.
Well, then you can't blame Cobb for that.
I'm not blaming Cobb. I'm just actually recognizing what Mike Vick did. He came in down three scores. On every possession that he led us to a scoring drive. Besides the last drive that we had that ended with a fourth and one that they decided to call a run play that the Green Bay defense was expecting.
No, they still got stopped short other times with Vic in there. It's not just Cobb. They had 13 first down attempts, and I wasn't on Cobb out there.
What I'm saying is every possession Vic had drove, besides the first possession in the second half when Elgin Buckley fumbled the ball, he drove down the field with confidence. He had that team confident. Players were surrounding them. They were happy. It was a different energy out there. And anybody who was watching the game would notice that energy that they had. They came out like a rejuvenated team ready to kick some butt. And even with the mistake that Aldrin Buckley made after the first drive in the second half, Mike Vick still came back. They marched down the field and they scored. That's Cobb didn't show that. And
that's another big problem then, because what you're basically saying is that the team rallied around Vic, but when Cobb was out there, they did not decide to perform for him. Now, this is your quarterback of the future. This is another thing that Andy Reid has to get his team on. They need to play good for Cobb. They can't play good for Vic, because Vic is not going to be an Eagle after next year.
But you can't say that, dude. You're saying that based on his contract. But if he comes out and
he's not going to be here next year. It's not because of the Eagles. It's because he himself has stated he wanted to go somewhere else. Remember how many times I told you about he starting, but he's not. He's
can do it for the Eagles and he would be happy, dude. Trust me, he don't want to go nowhere but Philadelphia. If he can be a starting quarterback for Philadelphia, I'm sure he'll be happy. He came out, he showed he could start in the NFL. And like I said, Philly may have a quarterback controversy. Cobb is only the future because that's what Andy Reid was planning on. But fact of the matter is, Andy Reid also wants to win a Super Bowl, and Andy Reid's contract's up in 2 years. No, whether or not.
That's the biggest issue, because then that what happens is that Vic becomes a new quarterback. So let's say that happens. But then they don't get to a Super Bowl. Now Andy Reid's out of town. Andy Reid built an offense around a new quarterback and was expected to come in. Now you change the quarterback situation all of a sudden, and now Reed's gone. That's going to...
Just like Matt Leiner, dude. Everybody thought Matt Leiner was going to take over the Cardinals. They signed Derek Anderson. It's his team now. Matt Leiner didn't produce during the preseason, all right? Cobb is getting so many chances, and still everybody is...
So many chances? He didn't get... This is his one chance.
Preseason... He didn't produce. He marched down the field, but he didn't produce any points, any touchdowns. He didn't show any flashes of anything good the first half of last night's game. To me, he looked scared. To me, he doesn't notice blitz pressure. He didn't feel it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm willing to give Cobb another chance, but I'm just saying, don't be surprised if there's a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia. And Cobb's not guaranteed a contract here either. Just because he's the starting quarterback doesn't mean that he's going to be here definitely for the next 3 years.
Well, he is, because what I'm going to say is that even though the Eagles would offer Vic money, let's just say, there's going to be another team that offers him even more than us. And that's going to be the case. And we all know it. We all know that Vic is going to be gone. He's going to probably go to Minnesota. I'll say this. He might go to Minnesota after Brett Favre retires. Because right now, that quarterback situation is really bad, and they would pay top dollar to get any kind of quarterback. And if Vic performs, they're going to pay him top dollar. While the Eagles right now are not going to want to do that. Not even after one season with them, they're not going to pay him that kind of money.
We'll see. If he plays to earn a contract, I guarantee you, if he does well and he wins a Super Bowl, he'll get any contract he wants.
That's the biggest if, because he's not going to win a Super Bowl. Let's get that out of the way right now. He's not winning a Super Bowl.
All right, and Kevin Cobb's going to win a Super Bowl. You think that
this Yes, year, this but year, in a couple years. Year. No. Here's the thing. Now, here's the problem. Now, here's the problem with your thinking and the way that a lot of fans think. They want to win a Super Bowl every single year, and that they don't realize that you have to give a new quarterback time. McNabb wasn't even able to do it.
A rookie quarterback set with a lot of weapons on his team, and he won it with good defense. And
all he didn't win that Super Bowl. What are you talking about? That defense and Jerome Bettis bailed him out. And I'll tell you this. Let's just say Peyton Manning. Let's say Peyton Manning's rookie year, if he were in this situation now instead of Kevin Cobb, and we let Vic take over this team, and then you let Manning go, and he becomes a top five quarterback in this league, you are going to be banging your head against the wall, because this is what happens. All rookie quarterbacks have a problem with this. All rookie quarterbacks are going to have a bad first year. Troy Aikman was another good example, and look what he did. He won 3 Super Bowls. Peyton Manning was a Super Bowl. Tom Brady, not a very good rookie quarterback. He wins 3 Super Bowls. Now you're going to try to tell me that you're going to give Cobb one year to become a superstar quarterback, and all of a sudden, if he doesn't perform, he's not going to have to learn? Because guess what? All quarterbacks have to go through this. We are all spoiled. We're also spoiled by the fact that Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan had good, very, very good rookie years, and that's something that is very rare. Now, besides the fact that they did very good, they still haven't won anything yet in the playoffs. They still have yet to get to a Super Bowl and yet win a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan also was injured for last year, so of course that is also going to go against him as well. But you cannot give Cobb 1 year under a new offense to go ahead and try to win a Super Bowl. That's foolish. You have to be realistic and rational at some point and realize that we cannot just go ahead and win a Super Bowl every year. We even doubted that the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl with McNabb as a quarterback, and yet we still wanted to keep McNabb in here because, God forbid, anything did happen, we didn't have anything else to fall back on. Now, if McNabb wasn't going to do it and we wanted to run him out of town, now we want to give Cobb just 1 year and run him out of town, and then we have nothing because Vic is definitely going to leave and all we have is Kafka? You got to be crazy. This controversy is all just an emotional reaction from people not seeing Cobb perform. But little did people realize that he didn't have the right play calls, the offensive line is horrible, and one thing that all quarterbacks need, regardless of how good they are, they need an offensive line that can protect them. And Cobb does not have that. Even if Cobb gets to be a good quarterback, he still needs an offensive line to protect him. Aaron Rodgers is a good example, because that offensive line gave up 50 sacks, which is tied for the second most in the league. They only made it to the wild card playoffs and they wound up losing partially because of that.
But he still produced.
But he didn't win a Super Bowl, and then you're going to give him you're going to let him say, oh yeah, well, he didn't win a Super Bowl because he's not in Philadelphia, but it's okay for him to do it but if we're in Philadelphia, we have to win a Super Bowl every year. So if Cobb gets that kind of pressure, all of a sudden he's a horrible quarterback and our offensive line is golden?
Well, Cobb is not a rookie quarterback. Let's get this straight. He's been on the team for 3 years now.
Rodgers was the same thing in his first year. He was a third-year quarterback.
Rodgers came in and turned around the franchise in 1 year.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. They were a 6-10 team when he first started. They were a playoff contending team with Favre back there. They went to the NFC Championship with Favre as a quarterback. And the next year, they were 6-10. Why are you trying to say that all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers has turned the franchise around? Second year, they managed to go to the wild card playoffs, and that was it. He's not turned the franchise around yet. He's showing promise, but he's not getting there just yet.
Like I said, everybody is free to their own opinion, and I really don't care what you think. So,
well, unfortunately, we're going to say that there is no quarterback controversy yet because it is only one game. But we do have other things to talk about. Of course, one of the things is that Leonard Weaver is out for the season. So we do have that problem to face. Now, it has come to my attention, and I'm not sure if this is finalized yet, but the Eagles have signed Owen Schmidt as their new fullback, considering that we had none on the depth chart. So, I mean, what can we really expect from this running game now? We were just talking about it earlier, and we said that we don't really have much, and now we lose our Pro Bowl fullback. So what can we really do with what seems to be a shallow running back core?
I don't know. That's a tough question, man. Without Leonard Weaver back there, you do miss a big piece of your offense, not just blocking-wise, but receiving, getting short yardage plays like they could with him. It's going to be tough. Hopefully Schmidt can come in and do well. You know, it's going to be tough. Any NFL player that comes in and has to transition right away to any team, no matter what scheme they run, it's going to take a little bit of time to getting used to. So we might have to rely on our quarterbacks throwing the ball, unfortunately, for a while. But I do, you know, I go back to what I was saying before. I don't even think there could be a quarterback controversy, but it's really all on how well the team executes all together. Defense, offense, special teams, everything. If you have good special teams play, you can get good field position. Your defense gets you the ball back. You know, short yardage field situations always get your team in a good position to score, no matter how bad your offense is. Anyway, so you know, a lot of things have to happen. But the running game, it's going to be hurting, man. But they got to do it more often, no matter what, in order to achieve some kind of outcome that's going to be positive for this team. Even if you only get 3-4 yards, 5 yards here at a time, that always helps your short passes that you can do. And whether it be Vic or Cobb back there, you need that ball to be run. And hopefully they can produce something with even like actually Mike Bell. He needs to come in and do something too. And I noticed they used him once, maybe once or twice last game. I'm not 100% sure. I think they saw him once. And he actually did very well in the run that he came in and did. I don't know if he came out and they just didn't use him all the rest of the game because he got hurt or something, or something happened to him, but I think they need to give him the ball more too. especially in goal line situations. If they're going to have trouble throwing the ball in the goal line or in a red zone, then they're going to need to run the ball and get someone physical in there who's proven he could do it on the New York, on the Saints last year when he went to the Super Bowl. So I think that's one big part of the offense, and I don't know, it needs to step it up, offensive line and blocking and running game.
What did you guys think of the defensive rookies with their first full season performance? Mainly talking about Nate Allen and Brandon Graham.
Nate Allen had an interception. I was actually pretty impressed there. And the ball was thrown right to where he was sitting at, but at least he got something achieved, and he can know that, you know, this is something he's going to want to do normally all the time, is get interceptions and do this kind of stuff. And he knows, you know, he gets that first one out of the way and starts to really concentrate on doing well. Brandon Graham, you know, he didn't get any sacks, but he did get a lot of pressure. He was pushing offensive linemen back. And I was pretty impressed because he really did go hard every play, and he wasn't stopping. Now, they had a pretty decent offensive line this year, and I think they're improved for the Packers. But, you know, Brandon Graham, he proved that he can keep on going. You know, Parker came in there for him and got the two sacks, though. It's kind of funny. I think the reason why that happens is because they weren't really scouting for Jaquay Parker to be that good. But that's what happens when you have a starting player and then, you know, your backup comes in and does well.
Well, I think it's that, but I don't know if you guys noticed this, but on third downs, remember how last season we would have Darren Howard lined up as a defensive tackle? That's where Brandon Graham was last game, and that's the reason why there was that one pass play where he was able to get in real fast, because the offensive guard, they missed their blocking assignment and let him through, but he was a tackle. But besides that, he wasn't really on the outside so much. He was actually lined up on the inside. Now, I don't know if I like that decision, because remember, as we all said, he's an undersized lineman. He's only 250-something. And then to have him line up as a tackle against some of the bigger offensive guards, I don't know if that really works well for him, because it didn't even really work well for Darren Howard. So, I mean, should the Eagles continue to do that with him, or should they just have him line up on the outside on third down and just have him be a pure pass rusher?
I definitely think they have him line up on the outside. That's what he is. He's a pure pass rusher. He's got speed. He's got moves. I mean, they compared him to Dwight Freeney. So, obviously, you know, Dwight Freeney can bull rush you. He does have strength. But, you know, most of his moves are all finesse kind of moves because he's so quick on his feet. So, I think definitely Brandon Graham should be starting really out on the outside. If you want to bring someone in to be kind of like a speed rusher on the inside, not really speed, but I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't do it at all. Maybe you should just always have that defensive tackle to stay in there. Someone like Antonio Dixon or Trevor Lawls can get in there just to give Bunkley or Patterson a break. I don't really think it's necessary. Keep him on the outside. Let him rush the quarterback. Let him get pressure. You know, keep him there at the position he's supposed to be at, and let him get used to doing that and see how well he can do. I think a lot of teams nowadays experiment with moving players so often, so many different places, that they forget where they're playing. You know what I mean? You got to have one consistent spot that you're at. You learn that, you do well, and then you become great over time.
Well, we can only wish the Eagles, and I should say a beaten up Eagles, the best of luck with the next game against the Lions. We still are considered favorites to win, whether or not Kevin Cobb is back there, and I do believe that. So, for now, all I can say is I wish them the best of luck for the next game. And hopefully next time when you guys tune in, we'll be talking about a win. And it'll be on a much happier tune, because I know that it really wasn't the happiest way to start the season. So, until then, bleed green and no other color.